In your barren years, you'll have a son. Perhaps the headline could be read, old man and woman beyond childbearing age has a baby. And he's not only just a baby, he's the forerunner of Jesus, the one prophesied that would come in the power and the spirit of Elijah to make ready a people for the Lord. Headlines like virgin woman, young woman, has a child without human union. What a headline, yet so obscure at that moment, but now known by us 2,000 years later, that this God who's come into our lives, who's come into history, who would declare impossible promises like a virgin birth and yet fulfill the promise of God. So you have Zacharias and Elizabeth, you have Mary, and now you have Joseph. And this is Joseph's story, although it's brief. It says now in the verse 18 that the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who's been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now she's going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. She shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Here comes the angel again, breaking the silence for a third time. Here's this angel who comes to this man who has found out that his betrothed, the woman that he's engaged to, has a child or is pregnant. And he knows for one thing certain that the baby isn't his. So the Bible says that he ponders these things. He thinks on these things. And the scripture says that he's a righteous man. And he doesn't want to disgrace her. So he plans to send her away secretly. He plans, the scripture says, to divorce her. Now, with this thought and with this original thought and the original language, you've got to understand that engagement and betrothal in those days was pretty completely different to our Western thought of what engagement is. I mean, there was a coming together at not an engagement party, but as just a contractual time where there is a contract here. There is a commitment between two families that this son of ours is going to marry your wife. And there was oftentimes a dowry that was included in this. And so in a Jewish setting is that this engagement or this betrothal often lasted about a year, where the man would go to his father's house and prepare a place for his wife. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like Jesus? Who goes to prepare a place for you and for me, and then to come to get his bride. And it's very, very Jewish. It's very, very biblical. It's very, very Old Testament. And yet in that betrothal time of which a contract has been made, a legal contract has been made that I am going to marry you, and you are going to marry me. And all that preparation and getting ready for this, the angel comes to Mary with this impossible word that says you're going to have this baby, and then all of a sudden it's known, and then Joseph finds out. And the Bible says this is the kind of man Joseph is. He's a righteous man. And we've been talking about that over the past couple of weeks, about who God calls righteous. Who God calls righteous. And just a righteous person is someone who is right with God. That's the first thing. A righteous man, a righteous woman is someone who is right with God. And this righteous man or this righteous woman, whomever God calls righteous in these days, they do a couple of things. Number one is that they do life God's way. They do life right according to God. That's what righteous people do. We're not talking self-righteous. I mean, when we think about the word righteous in these days, it can have a different kind of connotation that the world would put upon it. But I'm just telling you that righteousness in God's view is being right with God. That's what righteousness is. But it's not just a position. It's not just a position of righteousness. It is a walk of righteousness. And everyone in the Old Testament that's ever been talked about, which are very few, have been righteous, are people who do life right. A couple of weeks ago when we looked at Luke chapter 1 verse 6 of Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were both righteous in the sight of God, and they walked blamelessly in all the commands and requirements of the Lord. They did things right. They did things the way God said to do them. And I want to tell you this, those of us who have had any kind of journey in the Christian life and any kind of familiarity with the Bible and what the Bible says on how to live, we know that it works. It's not easy. It's sometimes difficult, but we know that God does what he says he's going to do. Amen. We know that he promises certain things. And if we would line up to that word and line up to that authority, I'm just telling you, we live life right. Now, I'm not talking about being free from trouble and struggle and hardship, but I'm just talking about a people that God views as righteous who are just doing things right. And the question that I want to ask today is, are you doing life right today? And you know, there's lots of folks who say, according to their own philosophy or upon their own heart, what's right and what's wrong. What I'm challenging us to do is to look at what God's word says, the timeless word of God. Not what my heart says or not what my brain says, but what does God say about these things? What does God say about our marriage? What does God say about our finances? What does God say about our direction in life? What does God say about sin and what is sin and what is wrong and what is right? But to use this word, to use this Bible as our guide, as something that guides us, that directs us, because after all, if you're in Christ, you know you believe that this Bible, this word, is the infallible word of God. Hard to understand sometimes. Do you know why? Because God's still a mystery. From our finite minds, we have a hard time understanding God sometimes. But I would tell you, Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous in the sight of God. They walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And it's interesting what God said about Noah in Genesis 6:9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Watch this. Noah walked with God. 2,000 years after the cross, 2,000 years after the grave, 2,000 years after the resurrection of Jesus, 2,000 years after his ascension, 2,000 years after he sent the Holy Spirit, his spirit to live in you and in me, we have the chance to be like Noah and to walk with God. That is the point of the birth of Christ. It's the point of the very names that God is naming this son. And what he's asking Joseph to do as a man in this life, as a man who is now a player, so to speak, an actor, so to speak, a man that has now a responsibility in this history of God, in this work of God to bring salvation to all men. Joseph is a part. But Joseph is looking right now with physical eyes, of course. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, your fiance, your betrothed is having a baby. And it's not yours. I mean, this is hard. This is difficult. This is hurtful. And I want to say this because Joseph is a righteous man, it doesn't mean that he wasn't hurt. It doesn't mean that he was not struggling. Listen, he's struggling, or he's not human, or he's not a righteous man. Righteous people struggle. People of faith struggle. And there's a struggle here. There's a crisis here in his life. And it brings certain embarrassment, and it brings certain shame and certain gossip. But the Bible says he's righteous. Whatever he's going to do when things are going right or when things are going wrong, he's going to do the right thing. Doing the righteous thing. And that's what the scripture is saying about this in all of this, because I know the tendency of human nature. I know the tendency. Hey, I know your tendency and my tendency. We get hurt, and the first thing we do is we grieve. And sometimes we don't grieve right. Sometimes we don't grieve godly. And ungodly grieving comes to this place to where all of a sudden we get angry. Could he have gotten angry? Yes, he could have gotten angry. And he might have had a day of anger. But I want to tell you, he didn't stay there. Because if you stay in anger, you'll start walking in unforgiveness. And if you walk in unforgiveness, you'll become bitter. And I just want to tell you this. I want to tell you what I believe with all my heart. With righteous people in Christ, that ought not be. He doesn't head there. Oh, he might have his face there some point. All he's doing, I want to do the righteous thing. I want to do the right thing. So what I want to do is I'm going to break the contract, but I'm going to do it secretly. I don't want to bring any shame to her. I don't want to bring any dishonor to her name, any dishonor to her family. I want to do the right thing. I don't want to blab it all over Facebook. I don't want to blab it all over Instagram. I don't want to blab it all over the internet. I want to keep it secret. I don't want to put it in the paper. I don't want to herald it. I want to do this right. And that's what he heads to do it right. To walk in a certain forgiveness, to walk in a certain just the righteousness of God. Do you know that when things go wrong in your life and my life, there's a right way to respond and there's a wrong way to respond? And you know that when you respond the wrong way, that just stuff just comes your way that you don't like. You talk about not liking this in the first place. Well, when you respond the wrong way, there's more stuff like that going to come on you. Have you ever experienced that? I've experienced that. We've all experienced that. And that we can have this, we have this ability as believers in Christ to respond right in times of darkness, in times of hardship, in times of betrayal, in times of words that were spoken out against us, or where things were stolen from us or taken from us, or just whatever we've got in our mind even that didn't even happen the way you think it happened, that we respond, we want to respond right. And I just want to tell you, righteous people do life God's way. They live life right in the midst of hardship and difficulty. The Bible says that Job 1:1 says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless. He was upright, fear God, turning away from evil. These people, this Joseph is a righteous man. But I got to tell you this, just as we talked about with Zacharias and Elizabeth, in God's economy, the only way you're right with God is not by living right. It's by faith. Did you hear this? It's a righteousness by faith that produces a righteousness that I do life right in. It's the only way. I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart that just like Abraham was reckoned as righteousness when he believed in Genesis chapter 15, that when he believed the promise of God, God said, I reckon you as righteous. I consider you righteous. He declared him positionally righteous and justified when he believed. I'm going to tell you, Joseph was a believer in this great God. He was a believer in this word of God, so that in this belief, God would declare him righteous, and then he would walk out a righteous lifestyle. And this is what he's doing. And he's doing it. What blows me away is that you and I have the cross, we have the blood, we have the word, we have everything we need, right? I mean, we have the Holy Spirit living in our lives, for goodness sake. I mean, we have what it takes. We have what we need. That God's declared us righteous and given us everything we need to live God's way, the Jesus way. Not Fritcher way. Not church way, not any way, but God's way. And I want to ask you, church, friends, people that have known you for years, are you doing life right
by faith in this great God who promises to come and do this great work in your life, in your marriage, life in your finances, life in every area of life, to give you this purpose, to give you this satisfaction in Him. I'm just telling you, it's real. It's real. If you're struggling with the reality of who God is, I'm telling you, I'm asking you to consider that this is real stuff. Amen? It's real. Folks weren't righteous because they lived life right. They lived right, life right because they were righteous by faith. You say to me, that seems so simple, but I'm telling you, it is simple. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simple. It's a simple thought. It's amazing to me because when you do a study of all the religions of the world, the way you get righteous is by doing, 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 and it's never enough. It's never satisfying. Then you come to this great God who says, listen, I'm just asking you to believe. I'm asking you to believe who I am and what I've done and what I want to do in your life. That's all I'm asking. I'm asking you to believe that the cross 2,000 years ago was enough, that I shed my blood for you, that 2,000 years ago I died on a cross. This historical Jesus died on a cross. But I don't just know that. I don't understand that. I don't believe that. I believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did for me. He did for me. It's that moment of faith that I place in him, that what he did for me. And I have all the benefits of that. I have all the rewards of that. I have all the good consequences of what he did 2,000 years ago for me and for you and you and you in this building today. But the question is, has faith been birthed? Where God declares, oh, righteous in my eyes. I don't become self-righteous. I don't become arrogant. Matter of fact, it humbles me more than it would bring anything else in my life. That this God would come 2,000 years after the first coming of the Spirit of God and would enter into a man's life, a boy's life, a daughter's life, a girl's life, a woman's life, that would come and enter into your life and enter into your world. So that you, empowered by the Spirit of God, can do life right. Joseph is a man who's righteous by faith, who does things right. And I want to tell you, he is on his way in a rightful, godly way to do what he's going to do. I mean, if you look at Old Testament law, the law says stone someone like that. There's consequences to this. And yet here's this man who loves God and says, I'm going to do this secretly. I'm not going to crucify her. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been crucified by somebody's words? Have you ever crucified somebody by your words? There's this refusal to walk in this direction. And that's what righteous people by faith do. Oh, it may take a little time for you. You may be slower than some. But I want to tell you, if you're in Jesus, you get this. Because you know this is the way to live. You know in the midst of your flesh, and you know in the midst of the burning anger or the things that are hitting your mind through the enemy, you know if you're in Christ, what's right. And this is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And I look at this and I move on. And so he's on his way to do this. But the Bible says, listen, when he considered this, when verse 20, when he pondered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who's been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's righteous. He's a man righteous by faith. And yet here he is getting this precious, treasured word from God who explains it to him. Now, you know, we don't always have the privilege or the pleasure or the convenience for God to explain everything to us while we're going through something, okay? Not promising that to you. Sometimes we got to walk it. And I'm just going to tell you, as urgent as God is in your life, is as urgent as he's going to let you know how to interpret things. But I want to tell you, this situation demanded an immediate interpretation. It demanded an immediate word. Because Joseph is going to get up to do one thing, but he gets up and he goes and does another thing. I just want to say to you, church, that this is how God wants to work in your life. This is how God wants to move in us, so that we are a people who truly walk by the Spirit and fulfill the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing somebody walking by the Word of God and seeing the fruit of the Spirit come forth from his life. Now, let's ask you a question. I mean, there's a place in Scripture in Galatians that talks about the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Deeds of the flesh have things like, it has things like anger, outburst of anger. It has lying. It has stuff that none of us ever, ever want to be done to us. Is that right? When you read that. But then he says, let me tell you about the fruit of the Spirit. Having already said, walk by the Spirit and you won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh, but you'll fulfill the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did you hear that? Nine of them. I mean, this is the thing that comes out of our lives. Let me ask you, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control a good thing? It's a good thing. It is a good thing. And when we get to this place where we have this knowledge of the Word, and we're in that Word, and God is taking that Word and applying it to situations and circumstances of our lives, and we begin to walk by the Spirit of God, we get to hear what the Spirit of God's saying through that Word, and all of a sudden, what are we seeing? We're seeing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We see it in our spouses. We see it in our children. People see it in us through the Spirit. And this is what I want to suggest to you. This is what he's living. Fruit's coming out of his life. And then all of a sudden, here comes this word. I want you to do these two things. I want you to marry Mary, okay? I'll say it in the way New Orleans says it. Marry Mary, okay? Marry her. Okay. Marry her. Take her as your wife. It's not what you think. Which is another thought. When you look at stuff and you look at people and the things they're going through, it's not all what it seems. There's something deeper going on. But we have the tendency to judge what's going on the outward when we have no idea what's going inwardly. And we'll judge and we'll be critical and we'll jump to conclusions. It's not always what it seems. It's often completely different. And it is for Joseph, and it is for Mary. It looks one way, but it's completely something different. It's completely something other. And he gets an angel to tell him the difference. But every one of us in here who named the name of Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? We get the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. I want to ask this question. How serious are you in your schedule, in your daily life, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, to your spouse, to your children, to your family? How serious are you to live that? Because I want to tell you, if you're not serious about it, You're missing the great privileges and the benefits of the kingdom of God. If you think that just going to church is just the slice of pie of my week, and it's not, and Jesus is not the centerpiece, it's all you got is a slice. It's all you got. It's a slice of something what I do kind of makes me feel better because I did it and I said it. But yet Jesus wants to be the centerpiece. The very centerpiece of your life. Listen, if you're new here, I'm not talking about thumping people with a Bible. Boom, 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 boom. I'm not talking about pride and arrogance that sometimes people see in the church. I'm not talking about brashness. I'm talking about just living life right. And not having the need to have to speak to this and speak to that and write to this and post to this and post to that. No, but just to live it. To hear the word of God and then to do the word of God. To do it. And I think that it's just, it's a wonderful thought. It's the best thought. That God comes to say, I got an answer to this and I have an answer to that. And yes, I want to give you the direction that you need in this area of life. Would you just call on me? Would you just speak to me? Would you just open the word of God? And would you just come? Would you just come into my presence and let me bless you? Now, Joseph, again, he gets an angel. But every day, well, let's say this. He's going to get an angel, not once, but twice. Okay? He's going to get an angel telling him what to do. Once, twice. And that's probably it. But you and I get the Holy Spirit every single day. Every single day. And we got this word that washes and that rejoices the heart and it makes wise the simple and it enlightens the eyes. This word that we call the Bible. And so what he does is this man completely, this courageous man will completely obey God. He is a righteous man by faith and he is a courageous man of God who completely obeys God. Bible says, notice what he says. He says, hey, this baby is not of man. It's of God. And she's going to bear a son. And let me tell you what you're going to do, Joseph. You're going to name him. You're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. And then all this took place to fulfill that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Can you fathom it? That this great God would want to be with the likes of me and you. Just as we are. You get to come just as you are. You get to come. That's what faith is. It's just coming just as you are. And like you might have just crawled out of the pit of sin and darkness and just crawled out of it and you got here today. And I'm just gonna tell you, Jesus, take you just as you are. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything to clean up because guess what? You can't clean yourself up. You can't change your soul. You can't change your nature. So you got to come just as you are. And you have this God, the Bible says, who has not dealt with us according to our sins. He's this God who's not dealt with us according to our sins. He's this God who forgives iniquity. He forgives transgression. He forgives sin. He remits it. And he declares you righteous. He declares you holy. What other God promises that? This is what God promises you and me. And if you've lived this for any amount of time, you know it's true. That God took away the shame, he took away the guilt, he took away the sin, he took away the darkness, and I'm free in Christ. We know that. You've experienced that in so many ways. But I'm just going to tell you this, when you believe and you're righteous by faith, that's not the end of the story. Because the end of this story, or the beginning of the end, because it's not going to last long, is that this man Joseph, is going to do what? He's going to get up from his sleep, verse 24, and he's going to do as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took Mary as his wife. He married his wife. Mary. He married Mary and he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to the son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, I've been meditating on a passage of scripture out of Psalms. You know, one of my journeys here in the last several years is a journey of experiencing God's presence. You know, I've quoted it often. I quoted it today. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forever. Psalmist was just so confident. Preached some messages on the one thing that David wanted more than anything in his kingdom and his life. He wanted the presence and the face of God. And I'm just captivated with it. That this God would absolutely, totally welcome me into his presence to experience him. Whenever. You know, the Bible says to enter into his presence, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And then he says another thing, and bless his name. To me, it's become an intentionality of moving into presence of God, to have that time alone with him, to have that time with him that sometimes, which is a miracle for me, can last an hour. And if you don't know me, well, you know that I move around a lot. And I don't stand still a lot. But I'm willing to stand still. That I might open that word, that he might give me insight, that he might speak to my heart, that he might speak to my day, that he might speak to my circumstances, that he might speak to my pain, that he might speak to my joy, that he might speak to my marriage, that he might speak to the things, how I live every day. Because that's how involved the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life. But he says this, hey, enter in with thanksgiving, enter in with praise, and then bless my name. And when I think about this story and I think about the name Jesus, it just means Savior. It means deliverer. That's what the name means. He says, name him Jesus because he's going to deliver his people from their sins, from their strongholds, from their pits, from their bondage, from their chains, from their hurt, from their grief, from the sorrows of childhood, the emotional damage of the heart and the mind. God comes to take away. He comes to take away what your daddy wounded. He comes to take away what your mama wounded. He came to take away what that teacher did, or what that man did, or what that woman did. All that pain, all that darkness. Jesus, the deliverer, comes to remove the ungodliness from our lives. The ungodliness done to us and spoken to us, and the ungodliness we brought on ourselves. That's why it's the gospel. That's why it's the good news. It's the good news because in this life, I can find freedom through the name of Jesus. This is not just about finding Jesus and getting your head beat in the rest of the life and making it to heaven one day. This is about an abundant life right now, right here. I tell you, if weeks go by, and I might not struggle with anything big, but then all of a sudden, me, Mike Fritcher, your pastor, struggles with something big. And the question is, am I going to do it right in God's eyes, or am I going to do it Fritcher's way? And I've been long enough to know, Fritcher's way, it's not a good way. God's way is. So he names him Jesus. And then the prophet says, hey, the angel says, it's to be a fulfillment of the word, God with us. God with us. And I love that because God comes, Jesus comes, the incarnate God comes, God in the flesh comes and lives for 33 years, manifests himself for 3 in public ministry, dies, goes to heaven, and then sends his spirit into your life so every one of us, every one of you can have Jesus in his life. God with us, God in us. Now, they're looking at this. From the very beginning of Genesis, and then we move all the way through Old Testament into the New Testament about the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And I love it because I think Emmanuel, God with me, God with us to deliver me, to save me, to save me from myself, to save me from my past, to save me from my stuff, to save me from the junk of this world, to save me. Emmanuel, God with you to deliver you. Listen, I'm telling you, this is faith, but also when you look at Joseph, this is courage. It's the courage of God to see, hear God speak and then for him to leave this place, and to go immediately to do what God asked him to do. And this is where we close this morning. Because if you've got Jesus, you've got Emmanuel, and you've got a Savior and Deliverer, and you've got everything you need to follow this great God. And a question that I ask in a message like this is, what has God asking you to do? Or what has he asked you to do that you haven't done yet? If you're new to that question, let that sink in for a moment. What has God asked you to do or is asking you to do that you've not done? Some of you got it really quick. You don't need a prompt. You got it quick. Because I think that sometimes we just need to hear again where God says, I want you to forgive that person and live a life of love and forgiveness. I want you to be generous and to live a life of giving and receiving. I want you to operate in your gifts, and I want you to teach that class, and I want you to give time in that nursery, and I want you to open your home and practice hospitality. I want you to share life with that neighbor. I want you to get connected to the body. I want you to get rid of that habit so that you might live a life of freedom. I want you to get out of that house, or I want you to get that out of your house and live a life of purity. I want you to sell all and follow me, a life of obedience. I want you to quit worrying about money and receive a life of peace. I want you to love your wife, respect your husband. Husband, lay down your life for your wife. Live with her in an understanding way. Honor her. Be to your husband as you are to the Lord, to me, for a fulfilling, joyful married life. I want you in full-time service. I've had this call all in your life since you were a little boy, a little girl. I want you to live a life of full embrace. I want you serving me. I want your life. I want you to live a surrendered life to me. I want you to get off the couch and go find someone to love, to serve. I want you to have purpose and meaning in life. I want you. I want your yes. What does God ask you to do that you know? You get up from here and you put your face toward doing that. Would you bow with me in prayer? Joseph, a man of faith and courage, who one night goes to sleep intending to do one thing and gets up from sleep to move in a completely different direction. Why? Because he was a righteous man by faith who was willing to do or was doing things right. And he gets up and he does what God asks him to do. I'm just going to say a couple of things here. Some of you need to trust again. Some of you need to trust your spouse again. Some of us, just need to trust. You just need to trust God again. You just need to trust the church again. You just need to trust again. You may be hurting over something. You may be hurting over something somebody said. You might be hurting over whatever it is. But I want to tell you, trust in God and trust in others is okay. It's a good thing. Maybe you have a secret habit. And God is saying, get this out of your life. Maybe you have an anger issue. It's time to get that out of your life. The Spirit of God is in this place, prompting us to do the things God's asked us to do. And I want to tell you this with all my heart. It may seem like a burden, but the Bible says what God asks you to do, it's not a burden, it's a joy. And it may be difficult for your flesh at this point, moment, but the minute you cross over the threshold to do what God asks you to do, you find life. God, through your forgiveness, you can restore the relationship. You can restore through forgiveness that dad, that son, that dad, that daughter, that mom, that son, that mom, that daughter relationship. By simple obedience, by simple courage of writing the letter, of knocking on the door, of just being available to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go, and I'll say whatever you want me to say. God, I just got to know I'm hearing you. I got to know this part. To walk by this faith and from this building to just do what God's asked you to do. That's Christmas courage. It's what Joseph did 2,000 years ago and got to be a part of God in the flesh from babyhood to probably teenager years till we don't hear from him again. Can you imagine missing out on something like that? God, I ask in Jesus' name that your Spirit would come today and birth within us faith to believe the Word of God today. Faith in us to believe, Lord, that you've come to do amazing things in our lives. That you've come to set us free. That you've come to remove the captives from us. That you've come to bring the Spirit of God into our lives. The fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the things of love, the things of life, the things of your kingdom. That you've come to do that today. You've come to do that in every person, every man, every woman, every couple here. Every couple that's watching, that will watch this, Lord Jesus, that's what you come to do. I pray that you birth within us this faith to believe the promises of God, so that Christmas, first Christmas headlines, those become the headlines of our lives. This great God doing his great work in his great people. God, may we embrace it today. May we embrace it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What is it? I'm just saying, go in the power of Jesus and run to the things and embrace the things that God has asked you to embrace. I want you to stand with me. Would you do that? And I want to do something different today. I'm going to do a blessing, but I want to just say this. I want you to remember that the Bible says to call to him and he'll show you great and mighty things. I want you to remember to cry out to God this week. I want you to remember that if you're suffering this week, you're to pray. If you're happy, you're to sing praises. If you're sick, the Bible says to call for the elders of the church for prayer and anointing. I want you to remember this week that there's no temptation overtaking you, which is common to man, but God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will make a way of escape for you. I want you to remember these things. I want you to remember to cry out to God. I want you to remember that there's people here that want to pray for you and pray over you and minister to you. And I want you to remember that no matter what you face, God is bigger and he'll make a way of escape for you. Okay? That good? All right. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you his incredible peace forever and ever, right now, right here, forever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you.